turn to the next item on the program, which has to do with the portable document format, PDF and screen access technology for the blind. We have a panel, you might say, up here, consisting of two people, Steve Jacobson, who is the Vice President of the NFB in Computer Science, and Loretta Guarino-Reed, who is the Accessibility Project Lead with Acrobat Engineering at Adobe Systems. Now, the portable document format, or PDF, is regarded by many blind people, including me, as perhaps the most difficult type of document to read using technology currently available to us. It may well be that this is because PDF is the most complex format for the most with the most capabilities in terms of how it is presented on the computer screen. This panel will hopefully provide all of us with helpful information that we can use to make the task of reading PDF documents just a little simpler, or at least maybe a little less frustrating. I have my doubts, but, you know, Loretta. Sorry. I'd like to introduce these panel members. Now, Steve Jacobson, as I said, is the president of the Computer Science Division. Many of you know him. He has, over the years, developed quite a bit of experience with PDF documents and screen reading technology, and he has extensive experience in corporate, you know, information technology, and is considered a national expert on non-visual access technology in his own right. And he also happens, by the way, to be a longtime Federationist, which ought to count for something in this outfit. Loretta Guarino-Reed is a delightful lady, I think. I met her at CSUN. I thought she was very fine and charming, and I got along really well for her, which is more than I can say for most people I meet. No, just kidding. I met her at CSUN, and I believe that she knows more about how the Acrobat Reader or the Adobe Reader, whatever you want to call it, interacts with screen access technology than anybody else at Adobe Corporation. And she brings to this years of dedicated effort to improve the accessibility to people with disabilities of the PDF document. Now, you may be interested in knowing these things about Loretta. And she gave up this information voluntarily, I might add. She obtained her Bachelor of Science degree in Mathematics and a Master of Science in Electrical Engineering and Computer Science from Stanford University in 1975. In 1980, she obtained her PhD in Computer Science from Carnegie Mellon University. So I'm sorry, Loretta, if I didn't ever call you Dr. Reed or whatever, but I'm glad you have the PhD. And in 1999, Loretta joined the Acrobat Engineering Team as the Project Lead for Accessibility, a position that she has held through the shipment of Acrobat versions 5, 6, and now 7. Loretta has implemented most of the MSAA support and a lot of coordination education of many Acrobat engineers whose work goes into supporting all of this stuff. And one final thing, she just happens to be a member of the WCAG, or the Web Content Accessibility Group 2, what is it, WCAG 2 Working Group in W3C's WAI Initiative. And she is also a member of the PDF Universal Access Working Group, which is trying to develop a standard for accessible PDF. So ladies and gentlemen, after all of that preliminary stuff, let's welcome this fine panel.
Mr. Oh.
Is it on?
Oh, so I have a little switch on there. Oh, yeah. But I taped right over it.
I swear to God, it does work.
Do we need a knife?
Where is the switch? I'm in front of the switch.
We painted ourselves into a technological corner.
Off comes all my tape. Oh, there's the switch. Ta-da! Thank you, Curtis. First, Curtis, I'm assuming that the 15 minutes we're already behind will come out of the business meeting?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, good. Make sure of that. I want to just say a couple of quick words. I've been using PDF documents because a lot of manuals at work started coming out in PDF since Acrobat version 3. So I've seen 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7. And I have to say, that I think in many ways that there's a similarity between PDF documents and good friends. Here's the similarity. I'm painfully aware of the negative aspects of PDF documents, just as I am how you know all the idiosyncrasies of your good friends, right? But when I go to some place to look for a manual and I find out they don't have one, even in PDF format, then I stop to think, good grief, I'm getting an awful lot of information out of PDF documents, despite the occasional rough edges. And so I really have come to think of it that way, that despite the fact that there's a lot of complexity, we have at least a format that has been accepted widely in the industry. You know, you can go to many websites if you purchase something like a television or whatever and find the manual there in, if not perfect, at least usable PDF format. And so despite all the things that we're talking about and the areas we need to try to improve on, I really think that's something we need to keep in mind when we're looking at back in 1995 or so, when you couldn't read a thing that was in PDF. You know, it came up as nothing with a screen reader. That a lot of progress has been made, and we still need to figure out how to go a little farther to make it better, and we all know that. But I think it's good to look back at how far we've come while we're looking ahead at what needs to be done. So, without me saying any more, I want to turn this over to Loretta and have you hear from the person who probably has the most information that will help us understand PDF documents, how to make them work for us, why sometimes they might be inconsistent, and, you know, at some point here we're going to also answer some questions. So, Loretta.
Thank you. I'm really thrilled to be here. I'm really, really honored to have a chance to come talk. And the only thing is, I feel like there's so much to say and there's so little time. But I'll try and touch on what I can, and hopefully some of this will be valuable to you. So first, a few words about your favorite file format, PDF. PDF did start life essentially as a completely visual format. One of the things that we did around the time frame of Acrobat 5, when we were getting serious about trying to address the issues of accessibility, was introduce tagged PDF. Tagged PDF contains not only information about how to draw the pages, but it also contains the equivalent of markup to in fact, you know, semantically label, if you will, the pieces of content that are being displayed on the page. Tagging is really critical to accessibility. I'm sure I don't have to explain that to this audience. But I just wanted to set that stage, because it'll make some of the rest of the things I'm going to say make a little bit more sense if we remember that the tags are separate and are not present in many PDF files. So, and then the other thing I wanted to say is the Adobe Reader is a complex program. I wish it were not so complex. Every time I have to sit down and try to explain how to use it, I'm reminded that it's not like falling off a log. Learning to use this is a lot like learning to use your browser, which means it takes some investment. So, that said, PDF files on Adobe Reader, I want to talk a little bit about the accessibility features, particularly that we introduced in Adobe Reader 7 and Acrobat 7, but also some of them that we introduced in version 6 to just kind of highlight some of the progress we've been making. One of the new features in Reader 7 was an accessibility setup assistant. There are so many little preferences, switches, what have you, that could, you know, need to be set to get the best experience, and it's sort of, you know, it's this problem of this being a very complex program. So we created a little wizard that would come up that would try to help you get them set so that you would have the best experience when you're using assistive technology. So so the first time that Reader's running and it detects assistive technology, it will pop up the wizard automatically. After that, it won't ever come up automatically, but it's still available from a menu item if you ever need to go back again. And the wizard has essentially a set of recommendations the first time it comes up. It'll ask you, are you running a screen reader or a screen magnifier, or do you in fact want to see all the different preferences that we've sort of identified as being potentially of interest. And once you've selected that, it will then walk you through those preferences, letting you change them if you like, trying to provide some explanation of what it is that they're doing. And it will also essentially give our recommendation for what we think is probably the right setting or the recommended setting. Now, as usual, it's hard to generalize, and you should believe your assistive technology vendor if they tell you otherwise on some of these settings. But we've done our best to try to get things set up so that things will work well. All the information on the wizard is also available through the normal preferences mechanism. So you may see things in different places, but we just thought that having to grovel through all the zillions of different Acrobat preferences was not the best way to start off life. So the accessibility wizard was one of the new features introduced in Reader 7. Another thing that we did in Reader 7 has to do with the tagging of files. As I said, accessible PDF files should contain tagging, should contain the information from the authoring tool that tells you what the different parts of the document are. We also know most PDF files don't contain the tags. There are a wide variety of reasons why that's true, but that's the reality. And so we've put a lot of work into Reader to try to make those files accessible anyway. One of the things we do or provide is a structure inference, that is, code that will run over the page, try to analyze what all the information is, and try to figure out what structure the author intended to the best of our ability. So when you open an untagged file, we will go off and we will try to figure out how to present this to you as best we can. Unfortunately, this can take a while. For large documents, this can take a very large while. And in the past, while all this was happening, you were sitting there with your screen reader silent, wondering what was happening, whether your system was still there or not. So one of the things we did in version 7 was try to at least put that processing into a background process so that you could at least get some feedback of what was going on and continue to be able to interact with your system a little bit more while we were sitting thinking away. So in version 7, when you open an untagged document, by default we will bring up a dialog that tells you this is untagged, this is how large it is. This is, given your current defaults, this is the way that we will go off and try to process it. This is the reading order and preference we will use. We will tell you whether or not we are going to try to process the entire document or only the currently visible pages, and give you the option of changing those things before we go off to start the work. So you at least get some feedback as to what's going on, and things aren't tied up. And then when you confirm that in fact you'd like to. That you're happy with those settings, we will fire up the process in the background. It will go off and think away, and it will also bring up a little feedback dialog for the progress it's making. Now, unfortunately, that dialog doesn't read automatically to tell you what progress is there. But we are displaying the information. If you work at it, I think it's possible to read it. And there's a cancel button. So if you accidentally told us to go off and automatically tag a 200-page document and you're getting really tired of waiting for it, you can stop, tell it to stop, go back and try again if you'd like. Either change the reading order to something faster or tell it just to limit itself to a single page. So those are some changes that we made to try to make things work a little bit more smoothly in the case of untagged documents. Now you can configure things so that the dialog doesn't come up automatically. If you're an experienced user, you know you're happy with your settings and you don't want to be delayed by having to interact with the dialog, you can tell it go away and don't come back again, just use my defaults. And there's also a new menu command where you can change the configurations used for processing the current file. So if you have chosen one particular set of settings and you get results which are not very satisfactory and you'd like to try perhaps to see whether you get better results with a different reading order. You can use this menu to bring that dialog back up again and tell it, okay, I'd like to change the way that you processed this page to a different set of parameters. Okay, so those were version 7 changes in dealing with untagged files. The structure inference is something that we continue to put a lot of work into improving because clearly, the better job we could do in actually figuring out how things are structured, the better experience you're going to have in trying to read the file. I have to say, I really hand it to the guys who work on that. It's a really hard problem when I'm taking bugs to them and saying, why did it mess up on this file? clearly got it wrong. And they tell me about some of the things that, this. In this case, if this were one pixel wider than we would have judged otherwise, it's a tough task, but we continue to work on it. It's clearly really important. So we put a lot of work in version 7 into trying to improve that, and also in trying to speed it up. And as a result, we've made the default reading order in version 7. In version 6, we had to switch back to making one of the more primitive versions of the default, just because of the performance problems that people were having. But as a result, I think people will get better results sort of out of the box in version 7. At least I hope so. Other improvements in version 7, it's possible to save your PDF file as text out of the Adobe Reader. We appreciate that for some people that's still their preferred mode of interaction. We try to do some improving in the way we formatted the text coming out so that it's easier to tell where paragraph boundaries are, for instance. We have improved our support in Internet Explorer. This is something that's been flaky in the past, not just for you folks, but for other people as well, and we think it's a lot more sound in version 7. And then another thing that happened in version 7 is we finally updated our Adobe Reader on Linux and Unix, which has sort of been languishing for a long while. So we've released a new version, and we've in fact been working on trying to make that accessible as well, making it support the GNOME accessibility architecture. I would say this is still definitely work in progress, but this was our first step toward trying to make sure that we're accessible on all the platforms where the reader's released. Let me just touch on a couple of things that were available in version 6 as well as version 7. There was a quick check that we added in version 7 to try and give you just a very, very shallow test when you open a PDF file as to just how much you should trust it. It's very shallow. It doesn't even test for things like are there alt descriptions on figures or things like that. But you can at least use it to tell is this tagged or not, or is it just is it really a scanned image? So that hopefully sort of at the highest level you sort of get some idea of what's going on. In version 6, another important thing that we added was trusted assistive technology support. Gets back to another I'm sure your favorite things about PDF files, which is the digital rights management and the fact that copy protected files are often excluded from accessibility. We took our oldest encryption technology, that is the 40-bit encrypted technology that's been around forever, because there are a lot of legacy files that use that protection. And we implemented a special protocol that we could use to try to tell whether we were talking to assistive technology that had agreed to respect the copy protection on that file. And for those vendors who are able to do that, then we can give them access to the file as well, while still maintaining our compact with the author who said he wanted that file to be copy protected. So that came in version 6 and continues to be available in version 7. Okay, so that's sort of the quick rundown of the accessibility features that we've been adding in recent versions. Let me talk about a couple of topics having to do with interacting with documents. Some of the things that make it more complex to use the reader than falling off a log. One has to do with the whole issue of is the screen reader reading the entire document versus is it reading just a single page? When we were first starting on this, we were trying to get some sense as to which of those models would actually work better. And fundamentally what we heard was, you want to get the entire document. And that makes a lot of sense. If the screen reader's got the entire document, then all of the nice navigation functionality that they've implemented is available across the entire document. You get to use them in a way that's familiar and standard. And so we certainly made that available. But we were a little concerned, because PDF files come in potentially very large chunks. I mean, you're not likely to run into an HTML file that's really 1,000 pages, but you can run into a 1,000-page PDF file. And we were just worried that, in fact, if you were always downloading the entire document, you could run into serious issues with these really, really large documents. So we took the usual out, and we kind of pushed the problem back onto the user and said, We'll give you a way to configure whether you want the entire document or you want just the current page according to your needs. For instance, screen magnifiers probably really don't want the entire document. They really do just want to interact with the current page. And essentially what we also did was provide a switch to sort of say you can if you want, you can control so that we will automatically switch depending upon the size of the document. But this does mean that as a user, you've got to be aware of the fact that there are these two different ways of interacting with the document, and that you've got to interact in slightly different ways. If you're reading a page at a time, then you've got to use Acrobat's or Adobe Reader's features to do things like advance to the next page, search within the document, and they're not always as convenient or as powerful as the ones built into your system technology. Okay, so that's just, I wanted to touch on the fact that that's a reality in using the reader as it's set up right now. Table access. Tag PDF does let you tag tables. In fact, it's got very comparable technology to the technology inside HTML. However, we're exposing them, at least the initial exposure was through MSAA, and so we were sort of limited to the ability that MSAA gave us to expose properties of tables. As a result, if you have a simple table, I mean something which is a matrix, you should be able to use the table support in your assistive technology to navigate it. However, if you've got a complex table, if it's got multiple rows of headers, if it's got spanning cells, the experience of those complex tables is not as good as we would like today. Something we would like to continue to improve on, since PDF is often used for documents that contain very complex tables. Forms, interactive forms in PDF. Forms is a class of PDF files where it's really critical that they be tagged. I think the logic that we have for trying to sort out a page doesn't do a very good job on many interactive forms, I should say. On one that's fairly simple, it will do okay, but many forms have lots of information encoded in their layout, and it just doesn't, I have to say, my belief is that the experience is going to be pretty poor if the file's not tagged. If it is tagged, if it is well tagged, it can actually be a good experience. The problem is, how many of them are there out there? Not enough. In Acrobat 7, we released a new authoring tool for forms called Designer. This tool does produce tagged PDF forms. I'm hoping that more of those will get out into the world so that people will have a better experience when they run into them. But it's really, really critical. The other problem, of course, is that there are lots of forms that are put out in PDF that are not interactive, that were intended to be printed out, to be filled out, and those inherently tend to be not very accessible either. Digital rights management. I touched on that briefly before. Let me just talk a little bit more about just what the state of the world is today. I mean, the basic problem is that there's a conflict between the author's need to control the use of this content and your need to access that content. It does get down to a technology problem, and that what we really need is some secure way of getting the information out of the PDF to the assistive technology, where we know that that's in fact what's happening and that it's not being siphoned off by somebody with other purposes in mind for the content. I understand your frustration when you run into these. I also understand the frustrations of the authors who discover that their copyrighted work is now being circulated around the world. I talked a little bit about the trusted assistive technology protocol that we implemented in version 6. We continue to try to figure out what can we do to in fact cut this Gordian knot and find a way to give you reliable access to information in the same way that sighted users have that access. The current state of the world is that it depends on the security handler that's being used in the document. Adobe provides some standard security handlers. However, there are custom third-party security handlers, so even we don't have complete control over all of what happens here. In the earliest security handler, in the 40-bit encryption, also known as Acrobat 3 compatible encryption, there was a digital rights bit for indicating that the content shouldn't be copied. Unfortunately, the way that we interact with assistive technology looks very much like copying. So we were in the situation that any time the author had turned that on, without probably even thinking about the fact that it would have impact on accessibility, the file suddenly became inaccessible. With trusted assistive technology, we at least those files now can be read by assistive technology. We also, in a second standard security handler, 128-bit encryption, also known as consistent with Acrobat 5 and later, what we did was we separated out the notion of copy protection and accessible via assistive technology in hopes that we could at least get authors to stop and think about the fact that even if they didn't want their content to be copied, perhaps they could accommodate assistive technology by explicitly giving it the permission. So there are two separate bits there. And we will honor the setting of the assistive technology bit in terms of whether we make the file accessible or not. I wish authors were more careful and responsible about the way that they use these things, but we've at least tried to give them more rope. And then finally I wanted to talk a little bit about know your PDF files, or why can't I make any sense out of this document? And just to sort of talk in general about what are the classes of problems, you know, if I were going to categorize documents about it, you know, sort of at a brief glance, from sort of some of the best to some of the worst. PDF is a publicly available standard. Adobe publishes the spec. It's available to anybody who wants to implement it. There's no license fee. That's the good news and the bad news, if you will. The good news is, in fact, anybody can implement their own software, and there are third parties who produce PDF on their own, who do PDF viewers, and that's goodness in the sense that there's a lot of freedom there. The bad news about that is it makes it very hard, in fact, to get everybody lined up to try to address these problems, because there are so many different people who are generating PDF in various different ways. So what kinds of PDF files might you encounter out there in the world? Well, of course, we hope you will encounter well-tagged, accessible PDF files. And if you do, I think that your experience should be pretty good. I believe it should be comparable to HTML. The Adobe authoring tools, I believe now all can generate accessible PDF. We try to get Adobe, of course, would love everybody to upgrade to the very newest tools so they'll get the very best files being generated. Unfortunately, not everybody does. But with a little luck, you will encounter more and more well-tagged accessible PDF files out there in the world. More likely, you'll encounter untagged files. Even within the world of untagged files, there's sort of a broad spectrum of how accessible the files may be. If the file contains what I call accessible fonts, that is, fonts which include the information that tell us the Unicode encoding for each of the characters, then there's a reasonable chance that if the structure inference does a good job, you'll get a pretty accessible experience. And I've seen a wide class of files, in fact, in which things seem to work pretty well. But by no means all of them. We do provide alternate reading orders in the hopes that if our attempts to infer the structure didn't work out very well, perhaps one of the other reading orders will give you a better result, or at least a different result, and maybe you can piece something together out of it. I don't know. So in addition to our attempts to analyze the page and figure out the structure, we also will present the content in print stream order, that is, as the application itself is trying to print the information to the page. Sometimes this is very good, and sometimes it's completely screwy, but you only know by trying. Or we will attempt to sort of sort left to right, top to bottom. You know, maybe this is a page which really is did simple, which for some reason we didn't recognize well, and if you read things in that order, you'll get a better result. So these are the alternatives we sort of build in for untagged files. Anytime we've got to be doing analysis, though, you're going to take a real performance hit in terms of your, the experience you're having. We're going to have to go off and do this hard thinking in real time, and you unfortunately will have to wait while that's happening. And of course, if the file's untagged, there are surely no alt descriptions provided for any of the images. I mean, nobody's been paying any attention. And similarly, there have been no descriptions provided if there are any interactive form fields. So again, these are more reasons why particularly untagged forms can be very difficult to work with. So a worst case is if somebody's been using the font which does not contain the Unicode tables. In this case, even our attempts to get the text out of the file may produce garbage. So some or all of the text may be complete garbage. And unfortunately, there's not really a workaround at that point. Short of taking the file and performing OCR, we just don't know what the text is. So continuing down the path of files which are harder and harder to do anything with is people, in fact, may have scanned the document in, done no OCR, just essentially put up images of the pages. And again, this is an inaccessible PDF file. What can I say? The Adobe Reader will tell you that it thinks that this page looks empty and that this may be a bad sign. Sometimes, however, people actually put empty pages in their documents, so sometimes you'll get this on a page where it really was empty. But we're at least trying to give you some hint as to what's going on. And again, at this point, it's got to be OCR'd to get anything out of it. Now, a new category of inaccessible files that I've been running into, to my dismay, is badly tagged files. This is a case where somehow or other, via some workflow, somebody has some of the information in the file tagged, but not all of it. Maybe they've combined a couple of PDF files into one PDF file, and one of them was tagged and one of them was untagged. When they do that, we'll see, there are tags in this file, and we'll believe the tags, and the reader will only expose the information that was tagged, and so there will be perhaps pages, perhaps most of the document that you don't even know is there. This is really an unhappy state of affairs. It will be hard for you to detect, in many cases, without sighted assistance, that you're not getting all the information, except for the fact that it may not make any sense. The quick check will not detect this, because it'll notice that there are tags, and it'll say, this is probably okay. The workaround, if you do discover you have one of these files, is that you've actually got to go into the preferences panel, the reading preferences panel, find the preference which says, override the tags. Please don't believe them. Please act as if this were an untagged file. Close the document, reopen it again, and now we will act as if it were an untagged file, and we will go into structure inference, and hopefully we will pick up the information that was missing. So that's my quick know your PDF review. I hope that you spend less time at the bottom of the list and more time at the top of the list. And then the last thing I wanted to talk about was just getting information from the Adobe Accessibility website. We have tried to put up some information to help both users and authors. So, in fact, we've published tutorials for trying to use Adobe Reader. As I say, it is unfortunately not like falling off a log. We want to try to give people help. The tutorial is available both in HTML and PDF. We didn't think it was actually reasonable to ask people to read a tutorial about reading PDF in PDF. and we have a tutorial version available both for version 7, but we kept around the tutorial for version 6 because we realized not everybody is able to upgrade to version 6, in particular if you're still running Win 98. Version 7 doesn't run on Win 98.
Right.
Sorry about that. So those are around for people who are willing to take a little time to read a bit about reading using Adobe Reader. There's also a guide for authoring accessible PDF. Undoubtedly, you find yourselves in positions of being confronted with an inaccessible PDF file, going back to the author and saying, please fix this, and the author says, how am I supposed to fix this? You know, he doesn't know anything about it. We've tried to write a document to talk about what are the different ways that you can produce accessible PDF, how to use the tools that are available, particularly the Adobe tools. Those are the ones we know most about, but it does talk about generating accessible PDF from Microsoft Office as well. How to use the repair tools that are built into Acrobat for going into legacy PDF and trying to add the accessibility information back in. A tedious task, but if that's the only path that's available, hey, that's what you need to do. There are also some other how-to guides for some of the authoring tools. So, for instance, there is a guide for creating accessible forms using Designer, that form authoring tool that I talked about earlier. There's a guide for sort of how to use the forms access tool for fixing up forms to make them accessible. There are some tutorials for some of our authoring tools. Anyway, there is information out there. I just want you to be aware of it for your own use and also for, as I say, for helping authors. Because, in fact, the biggest challenge we face is how do we get more authors conscious of the fact that they need to be worrying about accessibility if they're generating their documents. Another thing that's available from that accessibility site is we do continue to have an online conversion service so that you can email your PDF file or the URL of a PDF file to convert it either to text or to HTML. This is still based on the Acrobat 6 version of our structure inference. I hope that we'll be able to upgrade that at some point because, as I say, we do continue to try to improve our technology. There are some limitations on the maximum size of document that it will process. I think it won't deal with anything bigger than 10 meg. It only converts European language documents, so please don't try to send a Japanese document. And if the document's copy protected, we're going to bounce it back to the DRM issues. But I guess I want to mention this because that service has been around for a while, but it was really getting in really bad shape for a while. Essentially, the hardware was dying out from under it. We did put up a new version about 6 months ago, I think. So it should be more reliable as well. It should be there. And the other thing to mention is that we recently revised the standard Adobe Reader download site to try to make sure that it's accessible itself, that you don't have to go to a special site for doing downloads. I'd love to hear back from you if we didn't succeed in actually addressing all the accessibility problems. Okay, that's the end of the things that I had prepared to say.
Wow.
Thank you, and we have time for some questions.
Great,
but I have a couple things I wanted to ask.
Some people know the protocol.
Yeah, right. Yeah, make sure you give us your names. Don't just holler out. We want to know who you are when we get to that point. But one of the things I thought might be interesting, Loretta, maybe you can give us some feedback on this as to how we might approach it. I happen to have, and I'm sure other people do too, a manual for a cell phone that is formatted virtually perfectly, except that the instructions refer to the buttons with little images. You know what I mean? You know, like press the, and there'll be an image of the star there or whatever. And what I'm wondering is, can you give us some idea, if we were to go to an author, assuming we could get their attention, how big a deal is it for them to make something like that accessible? In other words, I'm assuming those are probably images that would have to have an alt text added or something. Do you want to comment on exactly how something like that would be so that when we contact authors, we kind of know what to tell them they're in store for?
Sure. Right. So the fact that it seems to be reading reasonably well otherwise probably means that the structured inference is working okay, which means, yes, first the author would need to tag the document, but if they had Acrobat, they could run the add tags command, invoke our structure inference to actually generate the tags, and then those buttons would show up as images, as figures, and they would need to add alt text to each figure to say what that button really is. that seems to me to be a pretty straightforward task in terms of making something accessible. Much easier, for instance, than when they've given you the whole picture of the cell phone as an image, and they're with lots of little arrows pointing into different parts. That's probably a little bit harder to make for them to make accessible.
Then, on a similar vein, here's another thing that some of you may find interesting, and this probably is more of an issue for the screen reader people, but I actually had a document that I thought this was happening with. It was a remote control, and they kept referring to the left, up, right, down arrows, but they weren't speaking. And I just assumed for a long time that the darn things were images. It turned out in that case, they really were using ASCII characters, or ANSI, whatever the terminology is. And all I had to do was define those as left arrow, right arrow, up arrow, down arrow in my screen reader's character dictionary, and the darn thing worked just perfectly. You know, some of those characters, we probably need to figure out what might show up in a PDF document that we may not think of. So there was a case where the problem wasn't with the PDF document or Adobe at all. It had to do with how it was defined by my screen reader, which is, I guess, a question I'd like to maybe ask you, Loretta, is one of the things I think that happens to us is we'll run into a problem. Sometimes we find that it might have to do with the version of Acrobat we have. Sometimes it's the screen reader. Sometimes it might even be system-related, particularly in the case of a lot of things using a lot of memory and having Internet Explorer open. Can you give us any tips as to how we might figure out when something happens, where we should address our concerns?
Wow. accessibility is an end-to-end product. You don't really care whether it's the screen reader or reader, Adobe Reader, or the author that's at fault. All that you really care is the fact that you can't get the results that you want. And I have to say that often I've got to get together, or the screen reader vendors got to get together with me to figure out who really is at fault with some of these problems. It's not even obvious always to us. So, unfortunately, all I can really say is start asking and hope that we are all working well enough together that we can sort it out amongst ourselves. I have to actually say that I give the screen reader vendors a lot of credit. They do a lot of filtering as a result of problems that come in, because people come to them first as to why is this not working. I'm grateful to them for being on the front lines in a lot of that work.
Is there a recognized place that they should go within Adobe?
To me. there's nothing in Adobe support, for instance. In general, for trying to address these kinds of problems, we try to make sure that our support people, in fact, are at least aware of the fact that, for instance, there are people who use screen readers and that they may get reports of things that they have trouble reproducing themselves, and not to just panic or give up or whatnot, but in terms of actually sorting out when push comes to shove, it gets down to engineering. What can I say?
I think Rick Fox was first. Why don't you go ahead with your question?
Dr. Reed, first I want to commend you for the tutorial on accessibility, the manual. I want to tell everybody here that it's really good. It will tell you not only about accessibility, but how to navigate PDF with a keyboard. And if you've read that, you know a lot after you finish. And so I commend the manual to you. And I also want to say that the IBTC did a presentation on Adobe and accessibility, and I have the handouts since I did the presentation. And if you want them, talk to me or email me at rick@4dewitt.com. That's the number 4. DEWITT.com, and I'll send you the handout. It's a summary. It's a 21 braille page, probably 10 print page on Adobe accessibility and the OCR and how that kind of deal with PDF that way.
That was the DF survival?
Yes, that was the DF survival.
DF survival seminar, I remember that.
Yeah.
You know, it's really nice to hear that somebody's been reading those tutorials. Thank you.
Rick, someone asked if you had any of those here.
No, we handed them all out. So I have to use email to send it to you.
Okay. How about mathematics and PDF?
Oh,
okay, there's a good one. But I didn't get your name.
Lewis Moore.
All right, good.
Rick. Yes, so that is an interesting and challenging area, particularly because a lot of mathematics does get published as PDF files because it's challenging content. Today, essentially, the best somebody can do is, in fact, add alt text to a mathematical equation to try to describe it. It's actually often possible to read the characters inside the mathematical equation, but that's not enough to make any sense out of it. I mean, there's a lot more relationships being represented in mathematics. We are thinking about the problem of what could we do that would be better for mathematics. And I guess I'd be very interested in finding out sort of from the user end what technologies might work, what might be better if we could figure out how to integrate it better into PDF and into the reader support.
Lloyd Rasmussen.
Okay, a couple of things. You might want to check into Math Player from Design Sciences as an example of what can be done on math inside HTML. They use MathML elements in HTML content, and they're still working on it, but it's a pretty good product already. Secondly, the second question was, is there any way to create tagged PDF documents without having Adobe Acrobat? Is that really the route that you have to take if you're going to tag your documents?
Lloyd, for those who might not have heard him, he mentioned that she should check with Math Player to see how someone else has handled math within the Math TML. I didn't say that right. But anyway. And then he's asking if there are other tools that create PDF documents that can be used to tag them other than Acrobat.
So the basic answer is that tagging is part of the PDF spec, and so that any tools that can generate PDF should be able to generate tagged PDF. That's the theoretical answer. The practical answer is I don't know of any other tools that do it after the fact. And the only non-Adobe tools I'm aware of that generate tagged PDF, I believe OpenOffice is starting to do this. So I don't know if that was the real question you were asking, but I think that's sort of the state of the world, unfortunately.
Who is the gentleman in front?
Ed Cohen. Your experience with using styles when creating a Word document and then saving from there
to PDF. He's asking about Word styles and how they convert to PDF.
I mean, that is what we recommend authors do for maximum accessibility in the PDF they generate, because the tagging that we generate in the conversion of Word files basically is being driven off the way that styles were being used. And so we try and, in fact, advise authors, use the table mechanisms in Word, don't hand format tables. Use the mechanisms in Word to attach descriptions to images so that will come through as alt text. And use styles because that's what will turn into the tagging. And if an author is just sort of using the default styles, you'll come out with a lot of paragraphs. But
okay. Who was it, Kurt? Jamal, did you have a question?
Yes, I did. Thank you. I wanted to say, I'm working at the SCCI correspondent with you a few months ago, and I really appreciate all the work you've done. To me, Adobe 7 is noticeably improved over the previous versions. I did have a few comments. The document you put out on using Adobe PDF with assistive technology, it seems to have this setting right now that blocks the ability to save it to text. So So I assume that's an oversight since you want that document to be maximally accessible. Also, with regard to stopping the tagging process, although there is a cancel button that click with your mouse simulation keys with a screen reader, in my testing, the escape key does not work to abort the tagging of a long document, and that would be a help. Some other hotkeys I think would be useful would be one to like immediately switch to a different reading order if the one that you're using doesn't work, and somehow transmit that to the screen reader so that it automatically reloads the document with the new order, so you don't have to close the PDF, change the setting, reopen the PDF. I also wonder with tagged documents, if you consider the Adobe Reader, if a document is untagged, it adds a set of temporary tags. If you would consider a feature that saves those tags in some file on disk, even if it's a proprietary file with Adobe Reader, so that the next time somebody tries to open that PDF, they don't have to go through the whole tagging process again. It can reach those tags already and associate them with the file. Finally, I wonder if you might consider having Adobe exercise some of its corporate influence on some of the major commercial sellers of PDFs that are not allowing any kind of screen reader access. The last two books I got from Amazon.com used the digital rights management scheme that completely locked out the screen reader. Same with ebooks.com, and in that case, their advertisement, because it lists the security settings, said that it did allow screen reader access, but in fact it did not. And of course, we as individuals should also try to advocate, but I wonder if Adobe might also have some additional influence with the major commercial providers to at least allow screen reader access.
Just to try to briefly repeat those for everybody, which I hope I do them justice, I know there was a document he mentioned that couldn't be saved to text, and
the tutorial, okay.
But he mentioned some additional hotkeys might be useful. One would be to be able to switch reading order and have it cause the screen readers to automatically reload the document without needing to close and open. And he also mentioned the need for some work to be done with ebooks in cases where electronic books that you purchase are still blocked. And there was a point I missed. Who remembers? The escape key not canceling, even though the cancel button might. So those were the things he mentioned, and I hope you remember better than I did.
And
the other thing was that automatic tagging. Is there a way to save those so that if you reread a document that has had tags inferred by the reader, that it doesn't have to do it over again to speed up performance?
Can you bug other companies who sell
and books? Can you bug other companies? Yeah, that was the ebook. Okay, let me. Okay. So I think we covered it.
Thanks for all the suggestions. My colleague Greg Pizaki is taking notes for me so that we can make sure that we aren't losing any of these. The only comment I would make about the hotkey for switching reading orders is we're out of hotkeys, which is a problem for all applications, I'm sure. There is a menu command that will do what you want. That is to say, for untagged files, will let you switch the reading order without having to close and reopen the document, and we'll just apply it to the current document. That was one of the new Acrobat 7 features, but it's a little more overhead than just having a hotkey to do that.
Milton Alta here. Is there any possibility that you can remove the feature of using the Microsoft speech out of the Acrobat Reader?
You want it removed?
Yeah.
Can you explain why you want it removed? Because if you don't use it, at least I've never known it to cause a problem. Or am I wrong about that?
A couple of electronic books that automatically loaded it.
Oh, where the book caused it to read instead of using your screen reader?
That's right.
I don't know.
That's really... I see Greg nodding in the back. I hadn't heard of that before. How odd.
I do remember having a form that spoke using the Microsoft voice, and I didn't know why. So I suppose there's some reason sometimes when it happens.
So, well, that's interesting. Maybe we'll consider a preference to disable it.
I think that'd be a great idea.
Totally disabling it, or, you know, probably on the install process.
Of the book or the software?
Might need it. How about in the main accessible wizard, put it there. Turn off the embedded speech.
Yeah, somewhere, somewhere where you can turn it off.
Okay.
So any other?
Read it with automatic.
All right, we got
any other questions? We understand that, and like she said, they're taking notes. The same thing. I didn't say any more about escape and cancel because they got that written down. So.
Yes, Darren Burke. Sean Jernis.
Jernis.
This is not specific to the reader, but it's to Acrobat Professional. I got my hands on a copy the other day and went to see about creating a secure document. And by default, when you choose one of your profiles for secure documents, accessible is turned off.
What?
Oh.
Send me the details.
7.0, I just got a thing. I don't know what, I think it was actually with the 7.02 update in it.
I really do need the details because we go to a lot of effort internally to make sure that things always default to be accessible. Please do send me the details.
Will you be here for the whole conference?
No, in fact, I'm going to leave as soon as at the end of this talk.
Okay.
Gary.
Gary.
I just wanted to say thank you to Loretta. I've monitored you on the JAWS list for a long time and found you extremely patient, and it's wonderful to hear you in person. You sound much better in person than you do in... you are tremendously patient, and you really do work through things, and you don't say, well, you know, I'm at the top of this thing, I don't have time to deal with you. It's always very courteous, and I appreciate that.
Thank you.
Dave Mayman, comment?
The same thing is true, by the way. I know she spends time on the Window Eyes list, which is where I see her. Now, who had the comment? Dave?
Dave, thank you for putting in the command that lets you flip the background colors from white to black. Because I can't see white documents.
Neither can I.
Okay, we probably got time for what, Curtis? Maybe one more?
One more question. Make sure we get your email address.
Okay, let's try that again. I heard so many people, I didn't pick anybody out.
I heard Aaron Burton.
Curtis. Thank Curtis, Aaron.
My name is Darren Burton from West Virginia NFD. I had the opportunity and the pleasure to work with Loretta and her team on the Adobe 6 and Adobe 7. And I just want to let everybody know they really have a great dedicated team. It's really a great pleasure to work out there. And I think they're really, you know, things aren't perfect now, but they're continually moving. Like Hank Scram, the football coach, said, we're matriculating the ball down the field. We've got real blind people working out with Adobe and consultants. We're working with them. My group is the American Foundation for the Blind. And again, it's just great work. I just want to commend Loretta and her team out there. Thank you very much. You're great, too.
Now, Loretta, what kind of contact information are you comfortable giving 200 or 300 people?
She's from Paris. What does she have?
Or what procedure do you want to use?
Okay, so Greg Pizaki is volunteering to be the first line of contact, particularly since I'm about to go off on vacation. So to his email address is gpizaki, gpisocky, at adobe.com.
Could you repeat that, please?
gpisocky. At adobe.com.
At adobe.com.
And I'm sure he'll get things through to me that need to make their way through.
Of course, those are on a Window Eyes and JAWS listserv already.
That's true. Search the archives, right?
Just remember, we want more improvements in Acrobat 8, too, so I can't spend all my time answering email.
Do you have a date on when Acrobat 8 is going to be released?
Sorry, that's always very sensitive market information.
Well, Loretta, thank you very much for coming, and I agree with the sentiments of Gary that it's nice to associate a real voice, and have a good trip to Europe.